I want to invite you this morning, if you would, to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16 with me again. And we'll begin looking at verse 24 is where we will, basically that's all we will look at this morning. Just a phrase out of it, as a matter of fact. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If you're there, say amen. Now, the Word of God tells us this. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." God, I pray now, in this moment, Lord God, You know what You and I have talked about this week. And I pray as a minister of the gospel today, I pray, God, You would give me, allow me to put everything else aside. And Father, the message You've laid in my heart this week, I pray now, that nothing else spoil Your Word to Your people now. I pray that we would be so attentive in this moment, every one of us, myself included, when it comes to being a disciple of God, what it really means today. It is no laughing matter. There is no funny stories to be told. There is just the truth found in these phrases. I pray today, God, that that message be conveyed. I pray we be obedient to what it says. God, I pray this in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, the series that we're in is entitled A Photo or a Portrait, Becoming God's Disciple. You remember that we're talking about the two, a photo is something that's taken relatively quickly. It's something that is, an image is captured just in a blink of an eye, sometimes faster than a blink of an eye. But a portrait, on the other hand, is something that is very detailed. It is something that is painstakingly takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to accomplish and to produce. It is that you and I, as disciples today, because every one of us who are sitting in this room here today who are born-again believers, followers of Jesus Christ, every one of us today ought to be striving to be a disciple. Every one of us in here today. The Bible tells us here clearly in these few verses that Jesus speaks on the subject of being a disciple, that it comes, however, with a great cost today. Being a disciple is something that takes a lot of effort and a lot of time. It is not something that just takes that quick and it's done. It is a lifelong pursuit. It is not something that you have today and that's it. Nothing else needs to be done. Jesus amplifies that here as He tells us that we need to come after Him, deny ourselves, and now He says, take up our cross. Many of us have probably heard sermon after sermon preached on this very verse. People in this room, I'm sure, have heard all types of angles on this particular thing, on this particular subject. However, today I want to take just a few moments and share something with you here this morning. I pray that will enhance our lives as disciples today. I pray that it is your heart's desire this morning now that you are longing to be a portrait of a disciple, not just a photo of one. However, it takes a lot of effort and time to do that. So let's take just a few moments and look at this particular passage here today. Disciples of Christ take up their cross. Arthur Blissett took his first steps early in the year of 1968 in the city of Hollywood, California. Now, this wasn't his first step of life, by no means. However, it was his first step of carrying the cross you see in the picture before you. He carried that cross, which is 12 foot high, 6 foot wide, and weighs approximately 45 pounds. Arthur Blissett, on June the 12th, 2008, finished his world record walk around the world carrying this cross. This photograph of him right here, he is standing on the border of Afghanistan right here. He is about to cross over into another country. In his time of carrying this particular cross, he carried it on foot 39,671 miles. He carried it on a boat an estimated 20,000 miles. By air, an estimated 2,170 miles he carried this thing. He carried it by automobile 395,000 miles. He was arrested 24 times or placed in jail. The place that he was most apt to be arrested was the United States of America. And the city that he was most apt to be arrested in was Hollywood, California. Can you believe that one? You would think that it would be some foreign country, Afghanistan or something like that, where another religion dominates. However, when Arthur was asked, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this after he, or why did you do this after he had finished his world record walk?" He simply said these words, and I quote, "I did it to obey the call of Jesus in my life as a disciple." End quote. My gracious. For 40 years, this man carried this cross, 45-pound cross, around the world solely because he believed that it was the call of his Lord and Savior in his life to do it. Jesus commands us in Matthew 16:24 to take up your cross today. Well, wait a minute now. I don't see no cross laying around here. Well, there is one in here, but that'd be hard to get off the wall. What is he talking about? Well, this is what he's doing. Jesus is issuing to every one of us sitting in this room here today as believers, he is issuing us a challenge. A challenge to take up our cross. Now, the cross symbolizes so much today. The cross, we have this one right here in the baptistry. There's one that is placed on top of the steeple outside the church here. There's a cross on the sign out here. And if you look very closely on the front of this building, there are crosses inlaid into the front of this building. The cross represents something to you and I today. It represents to us so many things. First and foremost, it should represent to us eternal life through Jesus Christ. It represents to us what He has done for you and I, that you and I may have eternal life. It is only through Jesus Christ, though, that you and I can do that. Through this challenge, though, there are several things that you and I need to be very well aware of. And maybe you want to write these down as we go through these today. The first thing is this, is the cross itself. The cross itself. Now, the cross is just a piece of wood, if we think about it. The one that Arthur Blissett carried around the world, just a couple of 4x4 posts connected together, weighing some 45 pounds. And I'm going to tell you what, carrying that thing almost 40,000 miles, that'd get heavy after a while, amen? It really would. This cross right here, we see crosses all over the United States of America. This cross right here is on a major interstate in Illinois, in the state of Illinois. It's seen by people everywhere. These crosses right here are placed on the fence on the border of the United States of America and Mexico. These crosses right here are on a hill in the country of Lithuania, representing those who have died for their belief in Jesus Christ. These crosses right here are set atop a church building in the same country, showing forth and carrying the sign of believers. This cross right here is very familiar, I'm sure, to many of you sitting right in here, because you yourself have gazed upon this, maybe even stood at this exact location and looked at it. This cross right here is located in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, right on top of a hill there. It's seen all over the city right there, that cross. It represents so much to us today. It represents eternal life. It represents, as my brother just led us in here just a few moments ago, it represents the amazing grace that has set us free today from the sin in our life today. It has set us free. But the cross in Jesus' day, the cross in Jesus' day represented something a little bit different. The cross in Jesus' day represented death. It represented to them whenever they saw this particular image anywhere. When they saw this image right here, when they looked at the cross like the one that's hanging in the baptistry today, that represented execution, death, a horrible death. It was not something that they viewed as being something they wanted to be a part of. Now the Romans, throughout the years, in the days of Jesus, they took that particular style of execution and they perfected it. They borrowed it from their friends, the Phoenicians, and they took it from them, and then they began to do it in a way that they wanted to do it. And sure enough, it became one of the most heinous and gruesome ways known to man to die. In that day and age, many of us today, we sit here, and maybe you have one. Maybe you have one on today, a necklace with a cross medallion hanging on that. In the day and age in which Jesus walked the face of this earth, for someone to see that, they would think that you were out of your mind. Why in the world would you wear something that symbolized death itself, a gruesome and horrible way to die? Why would you wear something like that? Bring forward into the 21st century today, it would be the same for you and I today if we were to take that cross off of that necklace and place the medallion of an electric chair or a gas chamber. Or a lethal injection table and wear that around. The same holds true in Jesus' day and age. When these people saw this cross, that's what it represented to them. Over the years, mankind has developed gruesome and unusual ways of execution. Years and years ago, many a culture would develop and build a full life-size bull made of bronze, and the inside of it would be hollow with a doorway on the side of it, and a person would be placed in that there, and the door would be sealed shut with no escape, and literally a fire built under them, and they would be baked alive. A very gruesome way to die. But over the years, there have been other things as well. Hanging, drawing, and quartering, where the person is hanged, they're taken down and dismembered. A very horrible way to die. Burning at the stake, a person placed at a stake, a fire built around them and burned alive. Ling Chi, where they are literally, their body is sliced all over until they literally bleed to death. A very gruesome way to die. The breaking wheel, where someone is tied to a wagon wheel and they are then beaten to death till their extremities are broken and they literally die on that wagon wheel. Horrible way. Boiling alive, being placed into a cauldron of boiling oil and boiled right there. A gruesome way to die. Flailing, where the person is skinned alive and left to die. Necklacing, which is something that was developed during the years of apartheid in South Africa, where a car tire is shoved over a person down over their arms till their waist. And the interior of that tire is filled with gasoline and they are set ablaze and burned to death. A horrible, horrible way to die. Sawing. And by the way, this is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Many a theologian believe that this is the way the prophet Isaiah died, when they are literally sawed in half alive. But at the very top of that list, and overshadowing all of that, is crucifixion. That is the most heinous way for an individual to die. It is one of the most slowest, for hours and hours of torturous agonizing pain. The person literally suffocates to death. It is a horrible way to die. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. What does that represent to you today? What does it represent to me today? If we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we got to understand, first of all, what the cross is. We, in some ways today, have glamorized the cross, and to us it means things of eternal life, and that's absolutely true. If it wasn't for the death of Jesus Christ upon a cross, none of us in this room here today could know eternal life, could know the freedom of being set free, could never know that amazing grace that we sang about this morning. We could never know that if Jesus had not have died on a cross for us. But there's a second thing that you and I need to be aware of this morning. Jesus tells us this right there in that particular passage of Scripture. He tells us this, that we need to take up our cross. Taking up your cross. To keep the context where it is ought to be, I want to read something to you here. To die for Christ. It literally means that. Listen to the amplified version of the Word of God. It reads these very verses. The verse 24 of Matthew 16 reads in that translation of the Word of God. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interest, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living. And if need be, die also. Whoa. For you see, today, if you go back and you study that word cross in the context in which Jesus uses right there, it is pointing to a death today. And many a person would tell us this, oh yeah, yeah, what that means is when we take up our cross, what that means is that we're just to deny ourselves of a few things. You know, the preacher boy down there at the church is talking about his television fast and how, you know, that's a big denial for me to deny that. I'm denying television. I'm here to tell you today the challenge that Christ lays before you. Listen to me. Denying yourself television doesn't hold a candle to what Jesus says you ought to do today. Jesus says literally, if it comes to the point right here, church, listen to this, that you and I are to die for Him physically. Hello. Man, I didn't know we was going to come in here and hear this morning. Preacher talking about dying. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. And when He uttered those words to the people that were standing or sitting before Him, they knew exactly what He meant. He wasn't just talking about denying yourself lunch, denying yourself dinner or anything like that. He was talking about dying. That's what He was talking about. But I want to share this with you today. It is my theory. Take that for whatever it's worth. And that's the reason I said it's my theory. I believe that a lot of believers today, Christians, would never die for Jesus Christ. Wouldn't do it. Somebody point a rifle right in your face and say either deny Christ or die. Which one would you do? It is my theory that a lot of people would begin to deny Him. That's my theory. What do I base that on? Jesus right here challenges us. Jesus issues the challenge to the church. It's just not to the people He was talking to that day. It echoes into this room right here this morning. It echoes to every believer in this room here today, from the youngest to the oldest. He is literally talking about today, if it comes to the point to die, do it. But listen to this. We sit back and we listen to preachers preach all over the country today, those that are truly preaching the Word of God. We hear them preach and they say words like this. We may hear this. Well, you know what? He's just preaching cotton picking too long. My gracious, the line at the restaurant's out the door. I'm going to be late for my nap. The ball game, the race starts here in a little while, and I'm going to be late for that. Will he please shut up? And Christ says, die for me. And we worried about what time we get out of church. We get upset so many times when a preacher somewhere challenges the church to serve him. Oh, I can't do that. I can't go out and knock on somebody's door. Why? Because it messes up with my schedule. I'm not able to do this right here. I don't have time to do something like that. You know what? I really don't. I am so busy in my life until I can't serve in that area. Preacher boy's asking us to come back tonight to Ministry Expo and be part of that. Get involved in the church. I just can't do that. And Christ challenges us to die. You know what? When I was getting ready for this, listen to me today. My challenge is don't hold a candle to Jesus Christ this morning. We sit back so many times and we hear that the preacher challenging us to reach out into the community in which we live in, and yet and still time after time, and listen, I'm guilty of this as well, time after time we come up with excuses. I'm afraid, I can't do this, I can't speak well, I don't know the words, I don't have the right tools in my life as a Christian to reach and minister to this community, and Christ yet and still says, I challenge you as a disciple to take up your cross and die. We sat back so many times and the preacher, 17 years as a preacher boy. Well, you know what? You're just preaching too strong on that. Bring up tithe and our offering in a church. And you'll hear a moan. Never forget, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. Deacon back at the church I pastored before I come here. I was so proud he did this. He stood up one day and the deacons would lead our prayer time there in the morning service. And never forget Brother Gale reaching in his back pocket and pulling out his wallet. Never forget, there's my handkerchief. I've been looking for that. Whew. It is hot up here. He took his wallet out and he put it right there. I said, uh-oh, here we go. Where your money goes is who and what you love. I'll never forget him saying that. And buddy, you could hear a pin drop in that place. The Word of God challenges us, just give 10%. Oh, I can't do it. Oh. Brother Mark Redman brought a message this morning. I was kidding with him afterwards and during our brotherhood breakfast. He brought a message, powerful message, truly, really was. If you missed it, you missed a blessing. And this morning, I'm here to tell you, listen, I thought he got in, I kidding with him. I told him, I said, man, I thought you was going to get in my message. Which one is better, is more of a challenge? The person that gives $1,000 or the person that gives $1? For the person who gives $1,000, it may not be anything. Drop in the bucket. But the person who gives the dollar, it may be everything they had. That's the challenge. And yet and still, we sit back and we say, oh, no. No. Let me stop and say this right here. If the only thing you're hearing me talk about this morning is tithing, you missed everything. You missed it all. Because that will follow your relationship with God. That's it. That will follow your relationship with God. Oh man, I can't, you know what? Oh, no. Oh, too much. We can't talk about tithing. No. And Jesus Christ the whole time challenges you and I to be His disciple is to die for Him. You know why we can't die for Him? Here it is. This is where the rubber meets the road. We've never died spiritually for Him. We haven't. We may say we have. We may say that we have. Oh yeah, I've died for Him. Shoot, I pick up my cross every day. That alarm clock goes off. I pick it up. Oh, I drag it out of the bed. I don't want to drag it out of the bed. I picked up my cross, preacher boy, to come up here today. Shoot, I got it out there in the car now. And Jesus challenges us to die. And we sit back and think that the challenges of the church are too hard. We've never died spiritually for Him. We haven't. There are some areas in our life today for you and for me that we know good and well this morning has never been turned over to Him. There is something somewhere in my life and in your life this morning that we know good and well today that it is mine and I'm not going to turn it over to anybody else. I'm not going to let that die in my life. I'm not going to kill that. And yet and still, Jesus says, if it comes to the point that you must die for me, do it. So taking up your cross today is truly a challenge from our Lord and Savior. And I ask you this morning, have you done it? Have you taken it up? Have you really begun to walk the road with your cross today? Have you really begun to pick it up? Yes, and deny yourself in so many areas. You know why? Listen to me. You want to know why today prosperity preaching is just a big thing and why we have thousands and thousands of people flocking to some to hear some preach. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. It's the bottom line. Because everything that is being spoken is about how the God of heaven can help me rather than how I can do anything for Him. That's why. That's why. That's why whenever we begin to talk about the dying to self and the challenge of the cross and picking up our cross, so many times whenever that's picked up and whenever we hear that, oh yeah, it's just denying myself. Oh no, listen to me, friend. It extends to every area, every fiber of your being. It's no longer though, in so many people's cases, it's no longer about God. It's about me and what I want and what I desire and what I think's right and what I think ought to be done. It's no longer about, well, what does God say? You know why? We've never died to self. Jesus lays out that challenge to disciples today. Take up your cross. Die today. But we don't want to do it. We just don't want to do it. The final thing is the challenge of the cross. The challenge. Yes, it means to physically die. Before we ever get to that point, before we can ever get to that point, we got to die spiritually. Well, what does that mean, preacher? What does that mean? Listen, it's no longer about what you want or what I want. It's no longer my thought process It's now God's thought process. It's no longer what I want. It's what God wants in and through me today. Brother Mark, this morning, I know I'm using my brother a lot. I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but I tell you what, God just really spoke to me through his message this morning. And Brother Mark, and I excuse me, brother, if I mess this up, but I've got to use it right here. He said this, something to this effect. You know, if somebody comes up to you as a believer and says these words, you know, you've lost your mind for believing that Christian stuff. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Why? Because the Bible tells us clearly, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You doggone right, I've lost my mind. It is the mind of Christ that now dwells inside of me. That is the longing that I have. That is the desire I have for myself. That is the desire I have for my family. And God, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I take up your challenge today. And Lord, I begin to deny and die to myself that God, if need be, one day I will even die physically for you. Man, that's a challenge. Jesus saved the hardest for last, didn't he? To die. Take your Bibles for just a moment. I know time's about got us, but please bear with me. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm not going to preach that long tonight. I may eat those words. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. When you're there, say amen. Amen. I still hear pages turning. That's okay. It's okay. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul writes to the church at Galatia. He's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says these words to them. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's no longer you. It's no longer me. It's no longer what I want. It's no longer what you want. Why? Because now Christ, we have been crucified with Him. He dwells inside of us. It is no longer our thought process. It is His thought process today. It's no longer about us. But Paul goes on and he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. He says these words as he writes to that church there. Oh, do you not know? Oh, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own today? It's no longer about you. It's no longer about what you want. It's no longer what I want. Why? Because you are no longer your own. If you have truly died for Him. Have you truly been crucified with Him? Have you? Now listen, I'm not diving off into a sermon on eternal security and all that stuff. I'm not doing that this morning. There's another time and place for that, and we'll get to that later. But listen, this is what I am diving off in today. Have you, in every area of your life today, died to self. Have you? Have you been crucified with Him? Have you taken the challenge of taking up your cross? And you understand completely today that yes, that does mean denial of so much in my life. But if the point arises and the need be, that I will physically die. That sounds absurd. That sounds like insanity, preacher. Paul himself said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Oh, my gracious. This is what I want to ask you to do this morning. Now, you don't have to. This is just you. I know what God... I can't stand up here and preach a message like I ought to unless God deals with me about it throughout the week. And I don't tell you what, He has wore this old boy out this week. I mean, there's some things in my life today I know good and well. Standing before you today and standing, more importantly, standing before God today, that I know needs to die today. Right now. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about thought processes in my mind. I'm talking about things, the way I live in some areas and some things that I do. I know today that needs to die. Right now. Not tonight. Not tomorrow. But now. Here. In this moment. There might not be another moment. There might not be another chance. And I want to ask you this morning, are you up for the challenge? Are you willing to take the challenge of Christ this morning? Are you willing today to take up your cross? Are you willing today to die spiritually? Are you willing today to be crucified with Him? Because quite honestly, if you are a believer today, you are already dead. Because it is no longer you. It is Him. But if you hadn't got to that point yet, this is what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you this morning, and please don't do this just to do it. Our brother's going to come up here in a moment. He's going to lead us in some singing. Brother Allen, he's going to be up here at the front. He may feel led this morning. I don't know how God's speaking to my brother. I don't know how He's speaking to this brother. I don't know how He's speaking to y'all. I don't know how He's speaking to this whole congregation, those up in the sound booth. I don't know. That's between you and God now. Hey, He may be speaking to some of the musicians. Music may stop here in a few minutes. That's fine. That's fine. Singing may stop in a few minutes. That's fine. But today is the day for you and I to die for Christ. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about for you and I to come right here and get on our knees today and cry out to Him and say, God, today there's some things in my life now today that, God, I want them crucified. I want them nailed to that cross, that they would die, that I would be the man of God that I ought to be. That I would be the woman of God that I ought to be. Today, God, I want them crucified in my life because I want to be Your disciple. I want to be that man. And today, God, I ask You to take them out because I can't do it. It's You today. And I want to ask you, wherever you're at, If you feel led, don't do it unless you feel led. This is a very serious moment. I'd ask you to join me here. And today, let's allow some of this stuff to die in our lives. Allow it to be nailed to the cross today. Father God, I pray now. God, in this moment, I pray in this time. God, I know how you've dealt with me. Father God, I know how you have, God, just laid my life before me this week. And God, how you have showed me who I really am in your eyes this morning. And it is not a pretty sight. God, I am not to that point. I say this, Lord. I'm not to the point of taking up my cross and dying the way I ought to. But God, I want to start trying today. And Father, I pray for every person in this room and within the sound of my voice that God, we accept the challenge of your Son. And today we take up our cross and we die for you. We literally, not physically, but in some ways of our lives today, may we die. Be crucified with you. That if yes, the day arises, that we physically die, that God, we do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.